Muhammad Nabina.
Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Listeners at home, I am Abdul Hakim Qasim and I welcome you to another edition of Everyday Muslim Show on Women Radio 91.7 FM. It's always a pleasure to come here and, speak with you, interact with you on the program Everyday Muslim. Today is Saturday, the 6th of September 2025, corresponding to the 13th day of Rabiul Awwal 1447 AH, a day after the federal government of Nigeria declared a public holiday in commemoration of the birth of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So today is the day, the morning after, actually, the second Saturday of the month of Hijrah, of the third month of the Hijrah year 1447, that is Rabiul Awwal, the month which, although a lot of people accept as the month of the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, thank Allah for the gift of good life and the gift of good health. It is because of these two mercies that, you know, we are alive here in the studio, kicking and speaking with you. And I believe it's the same, on your side there. All right. So on the program Everyday Muslim, we try to address misconceptions about Islam, foster peaceful coexistence within the society, and guide the everyday Muslim on their journey in Islam. This program is brought to you by the Muslim Public Affairs Center, MPAC, in partnership with Women Radio 91.7 FM. Allah the Almighty, the Exalted, says in the glorious Quran, Quran chapter 33, verse 21, لَكَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهُ وَلِيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهُ كَثِيرًا. Indeed, in the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have a good example to follow for him who hopes for meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the last day and remembers Allah much. This month is a special edition of Everyday Muslim because we are embarking on a series, walking in his light, the life, mercy and character of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And today it is a series 2 where we will be looking at the man behind the message. So this program is streaming live on Instagram via Impact Everyday Muslim page. The handle is everydaymuslim01, everydaymuslim01 on Instagram. You can log on Instagram to view the studio and to also send in your comments on the live feeds on Instagram. Later on in the program, we will open our phone lines for you to call in and share your thoughts. So today, like I said, we are continuing the series and we are looking at mercy in motion, how he treated the weakest amongst us. The title of the series is Walking in His Light, the life, mercy and character of Prophet Muhammad. And in today's series, which is the second in the series, we are discussing mercy in motion, how he treated the weakest amongst us. Alhamdulillah, welcome back to the second episode of the special series. And in our previous episode, we journeyed through the early years of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before revelation, before prophethood, years that molded his compassion, his integrity and preparedness for the noble message he was destined to carry. Today, inshallah, we will turn to one of the most radiant dimensions of his mission, mercy. Allah reminds us in God's Quran, in Quran chapter 21, verse 107, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ بَعْدَ أَوْذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Allah says, and we have not sent you, O Muhammad, except as a mercy to the whole universe. This mercy was not theoretical, nor was it confined to lofty ideals. It was lived and felt, reaching the poor, the orphans, the widows, the oppressed, the weak, and even the animals around him, the trees, everyone, even Angel Jibril attested to the mercy of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, it was through you that Allah secured, that I secured my position before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how did the mercy of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how did he as a prophet, Prophet Muhammad, embody mercy in action? And what timeless lessons can we draw from his example in responding to the struggles of the most vulnerable in our world today? To guide us through these reflections, we are honored to be joined by our esteemed guest, Imam Abu Labiba Taufik Busari Abul Barakat. Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ya Imam.
Wa alaikum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you doing, brother?
Hello, Imam, are you there?
Assalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Imam. Probably you might need to unmute yourself.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Imam, we can't hear you at all. We cannot hear you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I don't know, you need to check your audio. We would try to settle that. We'll try to address that. So, but Imam, actually, for those of us that are meeting Imam Abu Labiba Taufik Busari Abul Barakat for the first time, he is the Imam and Director Darus Sa'ida Islamic Center, Ota Ogun State. He is also the Quran tutor of the University, Christian University, Abeokuta, Ogun State. So, Imam, salam alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Can you hear me?
Still seem to be having some issues. All right. So, like I said, in this series, we are looking at the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the title of the series is "Walking in His Light," the life, mercy and character of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Last week, we considered the man behind the message. Who was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam before revelation? And today, we would be looking at mercy in motion, how he treated the weakest amongst us. So last week, Imam Abu Labiba Taufik Busari was able to help us to navigate through the journey of the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam before prophethood, wherein he made us understand that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born as an orphan. Assalamu alaikum. I don't know, it's like we are having a challenge with the audio from your end, or would also try to look at it from the end of the studio here. So while we try to resolve that particular challenge with the audio, would connect with the Imam later. I was trying to remind those of us that were especially for those that were not there yet last week, that talking about the fact that Prophet Sallam was a distinguished personality even before he was called to prophethood. This is someone that was born as an orphan. His father died before he was born. Beyond that, his mom died while he was just at the age of six. His grandfather, who took over his care, his tutelage, died when he was just 8 years, and the responsibility for his upkeep fell onto his uncle Abu Talib, who guided him through the course of his adolescence, and he became a shepherd, tended flocks, and that gave an understanding of how to nurture people, how to treat people with compassion. Then beyond that, he was also exposed to business, embarking on business journey, and he also worked for the widow, that merchant Khadija, radiallahu anha, who eventually, by virtue of his trustworthiness and his truthfulness, this was Muhammad, even before Prophet Hud, that was already known as Sadiq al-Masduq, the truthful one, and who is widely accepted by the people as also truthful. You know, it's possible that you're truthful, but people will still doubt your truthfulness. But here is someone that is truthful, and his people attested to his truthfulness. And beyond that, they also gave him the title Al-Amin, the trustworthy one amongst us. And they could not find any other person with whom they can entrust, their property, their endowment, their wealth, other than him, to be in his custody, because they know quite well that whatever is kept in his custody, he would not touch it. He would return it to you exact condition in which he was given. That was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Here was Muhammad that was able to help his people resolve even communal conflict among themselves, just by virtue of the fact that they wanted, to put the Hajar al-Aswad within the, the precincts of the Kaaba, and they could not agree among themselves, and they were almost, resulting into a conflict, to a fight. They almost drew their swords, but eventually, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to help them resolve that, and they all did that collectively. They were able to resolve that. Here was Muhammad that would move away from his people, from the corruption of the society, to reflect on his creator and many other things like that. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was not an opportunist. Here was someone that a lot of people denigrate today. They even abuse, they malign his personality. Say he's, some would say he's a womanizer, he's this. Here was someone that the first time he would get married a widow, someone who was older than him by, nothing less than 15 years. And he stayed truthful and, loyal to our mother, Khadija radiallahu anha, till her death. So here was Muhammad, even before prophethood. So that is the kind of person, so an embodiment of truthfulness, of good character, of compassion. So how would we claim to follow him if we don't exemplify, or how will I put it, epitomize this noble character that he lived by even before he became a prophet? And that's why all these things, all these experiences, and all this character molded him in preparation for the noble task of prophethood that was eventually, entrusted upon him by his creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for us in our, lives, it is important that we prepare ourselves ahead of responsibility, because it's not when responsibility is thrusted upon us that we now start preparing. No. It won't work that way. So we hope that in the way we live our lives and in everything that we do, we would ensure that we take care of some of these aspects of our lives, so that at the end of the day, we will not misrepresent Islam, thinking that all right. So Imam, again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Please, can
you hear us? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Can you hear me now?
It seems listeners at home can hear him, but right here in the studio we are unable to.
Can you hear me?
Audio thing. I'm getting feedback that listeners at home can hear him, but I in the studio cannot.
Can you hear me?
Assalamu
alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If this is not working, if you can hear me there, let me call through the direct call. I've tried calling the studio, no one is speaking up. Let me join through the direct call.
We can hear you. We can hear you. Go ahead. All right. So yes. We'll do that. We'll find a way to run around that. Okay, so let's begin. Inshallah. Okay, all right. So The first question I have here for you, Imam, is the fact that
when we reflect on the weakest in the society during the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the poor struggling to survive, orphans with no protector, women whose voices were silenced, slaves stripped of their dignity, and the marginalized pushed to the edges, what picture of that society comes to mind, and why must we grasp this background before appreciating the Prophet's revolutionary mercy towards them?
Could you please take the question again?
What I was trying to say is that reflecting on the weakest in the society during the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam back there in Mecca, looking at the various categories of them, the poor struggling to survive, those orphans who had no protector, women whose voices were not even heard, they were totally silenced, slaves who were stripped of their humanity and their dignity, and the marginalized people who were pushed to the edges. Now, what picture of that, you know, society comes to mind whenever we reflect on the weakest, you know, of the society during the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And why do we really need to understand this background of, you know, this kind of situation in order for us to appreciate the Prophet's revolutionary mercy towards them?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. We thank Allah for His mercy. And we thank Allah for giving us Nabiullah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a mercy to the entire world. If we do not understand what the pre-Islamic era was, we would not really appreciate what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's impact, the impact he had on the society and in the entire world at large. I mentioned the other time, that was last week when we started this series, I mentioned how upside down the entire society was in terms of usurping the rights of people. In fact, women having no, having no right to life, right to education, right to property, right to everything. The weak has no voice. And the slaves were like, they weren't even born by a human. And, you know, the rich were only concerned about being richer. And the poor only concerned about being poorer, because they had no hope, then they would rather prefer to remain poor because there was no hope to become rich. This society is just a society. It was a society of oppression. Nothing else to depict it but oppression. If we look into sometimes during our time, if you look at the slave trade period, look at, in fact, looking at even what is going on right in, Gaza at the moment, to our brothers in Palestine, it will be like you trying to picture what happened during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before his prophethood. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to stop that oppression and gave brought a revolution to the lives of the weak, lives of the oppressed, lives of women most especially, and the slaves too felt like being a human and being born by humans and not just falling from heavens and being treated like animals in the jungle. So the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam really gave this strong hope to all and sundry. Even the rich felt his presence by having full security regarding their wealth.
So Now, looking at the fact that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was described as mercy to the world, and this is not my own statement, this is Allah himself describing his apostle as a mercy to the world. So how did he embody this mercy in his treatment of these categories, or you know, that we, of people that we consider the most vulnerable members of his community? He talked about the women, the poor, you know, the needy, the slaves, and all the likes like that. So can you share striking moments from his life that capture, you know, this in action?
Okay, in fact, we will count a whole lot of them. A whole lot of them. Let me start with that of women that were seen as not human and object of use and just like a property. You know, there was this practice during the pre-Islamic era, and in fact, this practice common amongst the Arabs, that they would liken the back of their wife to that of their mother. Due to anger, you know, they just talk to them the way they liked, and so on. There was a particular woman that couldn't bear the situation, and the husband had, you know, spoken so derogatory of her. And when he had his anger suppressed, he came to her requesting intimacy. And she felt like, no, how can I give such? Then she went to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, recounting the situation, complaining to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala intervened. That intervention of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala can be found in Surah Mujadila, that's Quran 58, if I'm not mistaken. That's Surah 58, where Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala revealed that verse or that surah specifically to protect the interest and dignity of women. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala made us know right there that any man that likens the back of his wife to that of his mother, such an individual, before he can move closer to such a woman, he needs to free a slave, a female slave. This is to make us understand that you have abused a woman, you have usurped the physical right in terms of dignity of a woman. Now use your hard-earned money that you cherish so much that you cannot joke with. Use that to go into slavery, buy a female just like the one that you just insulted, buy her, but will not be your slave. You have to emancipate her and free her, so she will go using your own hard-earned money before you can come back to that woman and have such intimacy with her. Or if you cannot do that, then you have to fast 2 months consecutively, subhanallah, before you can have anything to do with that woman.
Wow.
Or you cannot do that, then you have to feed 60 needy, not just giving them what you like, feeding them to their brim, eat in and take away.
Wow.
Each of them 60.
Wow.
Before you can come to have any intimacy with such a woman.
Absolutely.
Look at how Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala restored the dignity of women through the coming of Nabiullah Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If you ask me to continue to count, I will count so many and we'll all get tired. Suratul Nisa was revealed to protect the right of orphans. In fact, do you know something? What we men seem to be proud of, most of we Muslim men, what we seem to be proud of when we say Islam says we can marry 2, 3, 4, came, in fact, mostly, yes, it's a permissibility,
but Allah used it to rebuke us mostly regarding orphans. If you know you cannot be just with a single orphan child, a single orphan, you cannot be just having an orphan as a bride. Allah said it is better for you to go out there, go and marry two women. It's better for you than marrying an orphan child and not be just with her. It's better for you to go out there and pick three rather than marrying an orphan child and you will not be just with her. Or marry four if you like. It's better for you than marrying a single orphan child and you will not be just with her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used that entire surah to protect women in terms of their dignity, in terms of their nurturing, in terms of their inheritance, in terms of their marriage, in terms of their how their permission is to be sought in marriage, and different aspects of the lives of women and the weak ones. Because you talk about the weak ones when you talk about orphans, when you talk about widows, and when you talk about women, these are vulnerable ones in our society, and Allah protected their rights in that surah, Surah An-Nisa, through the coming of Nabiullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is truly Rahmatul Rahim, as Allah described him.
If you check pre-Islamic Arabia, that society was often harsh towards the weak. Yet Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam turned the social order on its head. In what ways did his compassion challenge the norms of his time and laid the foundation for justice, dignity, and equality? Because some of these things that you're saying, I'm trying to imagine a society where injustice is the order of the day, and you have someone who revolutionized such a society and says, no, this will no longer continue, or this is unacceptable. I know quite well there must be a very strong pushback from those who benefited from this order of injustice. Some people will be profiting from it. So how did they push back? I'm trying to imagine. So how did the Prophet's compassion challenge the norms of his time and laid this foundation for justice, dignity, and equality, as you have painted it?
My brother, it wasn't easy. The Prophet faced a lot, because he gave voice to the weak. He gave voice to the weak. Those that were unheard began to be heard. Those rights that had been usurped began to be restored. Then the cabal started fighting back. Just like we have it in our dear country, Nigeria. May Allah take good care of our country.
Ameen.
May Allah restore stability, restore peace, restore tranquility in our country.
Ameen.
There are some people, just like the pre-Islamic era, the ignorant time, the Jahiliyyah period, the period before the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where some people were profiting from evil, profiting from oppression and injustice, profiting from cheating people, just like we have in our country now. We have some people that do not want it to be good. They don't want it to be in good state, because it is in that bad state they are actually enjoying their own wealth. So the way they fight back and make the country ungovernable for the leader, the same way they made it for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during that time, because they feel that now our slaves are now feeling equal to us. They are now feeling like a human being.
What an effrontery.
Now?
I said, they would say, what an effrontery.
Now, they feel that they can now say no to our orders. They feel that we can, just like Bilal ibn Rabah, he was asked to beat, a particular person. What did he do? Why does he want to beat him? Nothing. He didn't do anything. Just beat him. We don't just like him. Just beat him. And he said, I can't beat him. He didn't do anything. Simply because he said God is one. Is that his offense? And the next thing was that, see what Muhammad has caused. Even our slaves are standing against us.
They are revolting.
Bilal was shown hell. Was shown the other side of hell that very day. To the extent that after he was beaten, he was taken to the desert in the scorching sun. That wounded back of his was placed on the hot sand. And very heavy hot rock was rolled, that could not be carried, was rolled and kept on his chest. And he kept saying, Allahu Ahad. Allahu Ahad. Allah is one. At a point, he couldn't, they went closer to him. Can we still hear his voice? He's still saying, Allahu Ahad. You better say, Allah is your God. You better say this. It got to a point, those two words became too big, too much for Bilal to say. He was only chanting, Ahad. 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 Before Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came to buy him out of slavery. Is it that of the people of, what's it called, Alu Yasir, the first martyrs that you want to talk about? Those ones that they didn't do anything because they were slaves, they don't have feet in the town. Nobody, they don't have families to back them. Then they came to pack all of them, kept them there right in front of the sun. The father was tied down, one leg tied to a horse, another leg tied to another horse, and the two horses were beaten in contrasting directions.
Ah, subhanallah.
He was torn apart.
To equal house.
This was the kind of society the Prophet met. The wife was also stabbed to death. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to tell the son, Ammar ibn Yasir, that he should be patient. His father and his mother are there in Jannah. The Prophet fought back to balance the society, and that was why we had more of the weak as his followers in the post era. Because they were the oppressed. They were the ones needing justice. He got to a stage, they had to blacklist the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all Muslims from any business transaction.
They were boycotted.
They should not be transacted with. Don't buy from them.
And don't sell
to nor them. Nor should they sell to you. Don't sell to them, and don't buy from them. You
total,
can imagine.
Total boycott.
Complete boycott. Why? Because he was trying to protect the right. Uphold the rights of the weak in the society. Uphold the rights of women, the young, the orphans, the widows in the society. It got to an extent as rich as our mother Khadija that we mentioned in the last episode, as rich as she was. They were still using her wealth to bring in food from outside. It got to a stage, her wealth finished. Nothing again to sustain that. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, I can still remember the cry of babies at night that will be unable to sleep because there is nothing to feed them with. They started feeding on grass.
Allahu Akbar.
They fed on grass. This led to the sickness of our mother, Khadija, which eventually she died. The Prophet lost a pillar. In the process of trying to uphold the rights of people, and this is a message to all leaders, do not get deterred, no matter the consequence, no matter the challenge, no matter what you are facing. Remain resolute. Remain strong upon goodness. Allah will make you triumph and grant you a way out of every difficulty.
Before we go on a very quick break, I would just want you to talk about the fact that, it's one thing to talk about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his mercy, and a lot of people would admire all these things. So it's one thing to admire, you know, that mercy. It's another thing to live it. So in our workplaces, in our homes, in our communities, how can we as ordinary people today reflect this prophetic character in practical, tangible ways? Because a lot of times, all of these things, when we, you know, hear them, oh, the prophet was a wonderful person. You know, the prophet has lived that. He has exemplified that. How about us? How then do we qualify us as followers if we don't exemplify such character? So how can we put that to practice today in reflecting this mercy that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed to the people during his time?
I would respond to that with two hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number one, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Unsur akhaka ghaliman."
Allah Akbar.
Unsur akhaka zaliman aw madhluman. And assist your brother. Help that your brother that is an oppressor, and as help that your brother that is oppressed. The companions were surprised. They said, how can we understand the case of the
oppressed,
but how can we help the oppressor? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, assist the oppressor, assist the wrongdoer in a way that he would not be able to continue with that oppression. He would not be able to continue with that wrongdoing.
Stop him, invariably.
Stop him. Another hadith to corroborate that is the one the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Man ra'a minkum munkaran, فَلْيُغَيِّرُهُ بِيَدِهِ. Whoever amongst you sees something
evil,
detestable and evil, something detested, something evil, something not welcoming against the norms set by God in his book and through the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, against morality, against humanity, if you see anything like this, then the first thing that should come to your mind is فَلْيُغَيِّرُهُ بِيَدِهِ. Change it with your hand. Do not look on. You have to make an effort to change. And the first change is through your hand. When we say change begins with me, I always say this. That statement is not political. It's not political, it is spiritual. It is more of divine. Everyone is an agent of change. We must make efforts to ensure change is implemented in all our locality, wherever we find ourselves, our homes, our offices, our neighborhood, our places of worship, in every location. So, if you are in a position to change it with your hand, please go ahead, don't look on. And how can you change it with your hand? Then it means you are the leader. You are in a position of authority. Don't look on and say, what can I do? Move, take that move and change it.
Don't feel helpless.
Even if people would fight back. If you cannot do that, you are not in a position of authority to change it with your hand, then fa'in lam tastati. Whoever that cannot do that with his hand, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't keep quiet.
Speak
against it. And that is where we fall. We religious leaders, we public speakers, we public figures, we need to talk, just like we are doing now. May Allah continue to empower MPAC for this noble, beautiful job done weekly to ensure norms are stated and the abnormal is eradicated. May Allah never make you get tired.
Ameen.
So, we need to speak out. The radio stations television, all media houses, media outlets should be used to speak against that evil. But if you cannot do that, فَإِلَّمْ يَسْتَطِعِنْ, if you are not in a position where you can speak, you are not a public person that can be heard, you are not opportune to be invited to programs like we have such opportunity. May Allah make us use it positively, the way Allah wants it and earn His pleasure through it. May Allah not make it uja against us.
Ameen.
So, if you don't have such opportunity, then the third one is you should detest it with your mind.
With your heart.
Have it. You ate it. Ate it right in your mind.
Mm.
But the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, فَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. That is the weakest of faith.
Mm.
We are all resorting, majority of us detesting things now, are only detesting with our hearts, even those that detest. Mm. Majority are giving silent approval.
Mm.
Yeah, their body gesture, you know, the body language and everything is just an approval to evil.
Mm.
So why are we resorting to that? We are not exemplifying. We are not putting into practice the way of life of Nabiullah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I want to enter Jannah with the Prophet. May Allah guide us all.
Allahumma ameen. All right, the program is still Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7, brought to you by MPAC in partnership with the leadership, the management of WFM. We'll go on a short break and return. The program continues. Please stay with us.
لبيك اللهم لبيك
لبيك اللهم لبيك
لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك
لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك
الحمد
إن الحمد
والنعمة
والنعمة
لك والملك
لك والملك
لا شريك لك
لا شريك لك.
Here we come Allah, here we come to serve you here.
All right, you're still listening to Everyday Muslim on Women Radio 91.7 FM, and it's brought to you by MPAG Muslim Public Affairs Center in partnership with Women Radio 91.7. And today we are discussing the series Walking in His Light, the life, mercy, and character of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And today's title is Mercy in Motion, how he, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, treated the weakest amongst us. And our guest discussant is Imam Abu Labiba Tawfiq Busari Abul Barakat, the Imam and Director of Darul Sa'ida Islamic Center, Otago State, the Quran Tutor of Crescent University, Abeokuta, Otago State. You can be a part of this discourse by calling the number 07000-917-917, 07000-917-917. Our toll-free line for the female callers is 0800-1235-917, 0800-1235-917. You can also send a message via SMS or WhatsApp to the number 08155-917-917. This program is streaming live on Instagram via MPAC Everyday Muslim page. The handle is EverydayMuslim01 on Instagram, so you can log on Instagram to view the studio and also send in your comment on the live feed on Instagram. All right. So, Imam, very quickly. So, as the exploitation, neglect, and injustice against the weak persists in our modern world, what lessons from the Prophet's life and guidance can help us respond to the plight of the poor, refugees, and those stripped of dignity? Like you mentioned the case of Gaza, you talk about the war in Ukraine, you talk about the killings in Sudan, you talk about the injustice, the insecurity ravaging our country Nigeria in various parts of the country. Talk about the North Central, former headers clashes, talk about banditry in the Northwest, talk about the insurgency and terrorism in the Northeast and so on, like that, even militancy in the South here, and kidnapping in all parts of the country. So how looking at the fact that all these are actually exploitation and injustice against the weak, so what lessons from the life of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and guidance can help us to respond to the plight of these vulnerable people in our society?
I would state this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says, "Man la yarham la yurham." Whoever that does not show mercy will not be shown mercy. Whoever that is not merciful to people, that is not showing empathy towards the situation of people, will not be shown mercy to by Allah. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ar-Rahimuna yarhamuhum ar-Rahman, irhamu man fil ardi yarhamukum man fis sama." Ar-Rahimun, whoever that shows mercy, Allah will also show them mercy in return. Show mercy to those on the surface of the heart, and the one above the heavens will show you mercy. Showing mercy is not a thing of compromise in our deed. And it starts from home. Charity begins from home. Inwardly, even within your family, how many people have you been merciful to? Some of us are not even merciful to our children. Some of us are not merciful to our wives. Some of us are not merciful to our husbands. How do you want to be merciful to people outside? As leaders in local communities, how much are you looking into the welfareism of people? How much are you taking care of them? Or do you expect that they come to you before you know that they are going through something? Oh, because he didn't speak. That's why you could not be intelligent enough, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to observe the situation of people. As Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that nobody understood the situation then more than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People thought that he had epilepsy, but it was not epilepsy. He said it was hunger. He would tie stone on his stomach just to be able to gain stability, you know, and appease the stomach as if there's something there. There's a corner that he used to sit. Anytime he sits there, it means he's hungry. It's only the Prophet that understands. And when the Prophet sees him, he says, "Let's go."
Allah Akbar.
Before Allah later enriched him too. The Prophet fed him even when he had nothing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went home a particular day and went to Abu Huraira. When they got home, the Prophet had to ask, "Is there anything at home?" That means he didn't leave anything at home. And yet he came home with somebody to feed. And he said, "Is there anything at home?" He was told that a gift has been brought to you by somebody. "Oh, bring it out." And it was brought out, which was cow milk. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abu Huraira to go and call Ahlu Sufa, all those that have, you know, dedicated their time, their energy into documentation of revelation, being denied of going elsewhere because of that noble work. Go and call all of them. They are quite many. And they came. Abu Huraira said he was looking at it. How will this small little thing take care of all of us? And the Prophet said, "Abu Huraira, you should be the one to share." And you know the implication of that?
He will take
it
last.
It means that he will be the last to take.
Subhanallah.
That's the Islamic teaching regarding sharing. Allah, if you are the one sharing, then you will be the last to take. So we should pick a lesson from there too. You are the one sharing, then you'll be the last to take. You want to be the first to take, then somebody else to share. Should share. That will make you do justice. So Abu Huraira was looking at it. Would this thing go around? He was sharing till it went around everybody.
Allah Akbar.
And he came back and gave the Prophet, "This is what is remaining." He said, "Abu Huraira, drink." He drank. He said, "Are you okay? Drink more." He drank more. Drink more. He said, "I drank to the extent that I had no space left in my tummy to fill."
Allah Akbar.
And the Prophet now took the remaining.
Allah Akbar. What a miracle.
What a miracle. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved the poor. to the extent that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him to ask from him, ask what you want. Sal ta'tu'ta, ask and you will be given. In one encounter the prophet had with Allah. And you know what the prophet asked? Allah. If you and I were given such opportunity, we know what we would request.
Allah, make me rich.
Let me be richer than Dangote. Let me be richer than the richest in Let me become the king of the world.
The richest man in the world.
What the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked are the following. He said, Allahumma, inni as'aluka fi'la al-khayrat. I ask you, Allah, to always make me do good at all times.
Allah Akbar.
Wa tarka al-munkarat. Oh Allah, make it easy for me to always abstain from evil at all times. وَحُبَّ الْمَسَاكِينَ Make it easy for me to always love the needy and the weak, the vulnerable. Look at such a beautiful dua. وَأَنْ تَغْفِرَ لِي وَتَرْحَمَنِي That you forgive me and show mercy to me. وَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ فِتْنَةً فِي قَوْمٍ If you intend to put a group of people to trials, oh Allah, take me away from them without facing such trials. Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbak. Oh Allah, I ask you of your love. Wa hubba man yuhibbuk. And the love of whoever you love. Wa hubba amalin yuqarribuni ila hubbik. Aw yuqarribu ila hubbik. And the love of everything I will do that will bring me closer to your love. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
The Prophet was exemplary.
Very, very exemplary. Very quickly, because we are running out of time, yeah, Imam. Now, from all the examples of, you know, the mercy of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, now, which moment do you think stands out to you as a person that you can describe as the most powerful demonstration of this compassion for the weak? One that would probably forever serve as our guiding light.
My brother, which one will I pick? There are too many. But let me talk about this. Because the family is the smallest unit of the society.
Okay.
If the family is in good order, the society will be in good order. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the best of you is the best to his family. And I'm the best of you, I'm the best to my family.
Allahu Akbar.
Could you imagine that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Prophet of God sent to the entire world, just like talking about the president of the world. Imagine him kneeling down for his wife to step on his back,
to ride on,
to
his
mount
back.
To ride on a ride.
He knelt down for the wife to step on his back in order to mount.
Step on his back to the mount ride. The ride.
Allahu Akbar.
The president of the world.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
How compassionate are we to our family?
To
our children. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of the love for children, he would be on sujood and remain there. It happened one day that people felt something else had happened to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Probably he had died or something, because it took so long.
In
some people had to raise their head a little to check on him. That what's going on?
Are you sure this man?
He said that he was still there. After the salah, he said, "Sorry, I took long. My grandchild sat on my back.
I was playing.
While I was praying. And I was afraid of hurting him if I stand up. He might get hurt. And that's why I remained there
till
he completes his intention, his desire, is satisfied before I could raise my head from sujood."
Allah Akbar.
How compassionate are you to your children? When last have you told them that you love them? When last have you told them that you care about them? When last have you even kissed your children? All these you can find in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When last have you played with your wife? The Prophet used to raise Sometimes it will make our mother Aisha to win deliberately, not deliberately, make a woman win. Yes, you won. And another time it would win to make the game interesting.
Allah Akbar. All right. We have this comment from Madam Bola. She said, good morning, sir. Happy Maulid Nabi. May Allah grant us the, his mercy to be able to walk in the light of the Prophet. How can our men walk in the light of the Prophet to treat their women with compassion? I understand some women lack good character, but the Prophet still treated them with empathy. Thank you. And please let the Imam pray for the nation and all oppressed nations. So I believe that what you have just said now, even the way Prophet ﷺ treated our mother Aisha radhiallahu anha, and including playing with her, you know, racing with her and doing all that, has already
answered. Let me just add one sentence.
Yes, okay. Sir.
Let me add one sentence to that.
Okay.
So our men, please try to resolve issues with solutions and not emotions. Just like the Prophet ﷺ.
All right. Okay. Now, as we wrap up, to our listeners, to everyone out there, what is that one simple but meaningful step they can take this very week to embody the mercy in motion in their own lives and become a source of comfort to the weakest amongst us?
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was generous more than the wind, or just like the wind.
Okay.
Go out with generosity. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, spending does not extinguish wealth. It makes your wealth grow. And whatever you spend is what is for you. What is left is not for you. Go out and impact lives positively. Show generosity to people you know and you don't know. Start from inside and take it outside. The world will become a better place for you and I.
All right.
There are some children that wants to start school in the next academic session. You are thinking of how to pay your children's school fees. They don't have a father. They don't have a mother to do that for them. Add that to your plans. Pay their school fees. Sponsor their education. The world will become a better place for us all.
All right. A dua. A simple dua. A short dua for Nigeria and the rest of the oppressed nations of the world.
May Allah make our country, Allahumma ja'al watanana Nigeria, amina mutma'inna.
Amen.
Wasa'ir biladil muslimin.
Amen.
May Allah make our country tranquil and peaceful for every one of us.
Amen.
And as well as all other land of Muslims across the globe.
All right.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
All right. Yeah, Imam. Jazakum Allah khairan. We would like to appreciate you for the insights that you have shared, and to all our listeners and all those who sent in messages. Jazakum Allah khairan. We also, again, commiserate the family of Al-Hajj Rashid Salu, whose father passed, Al-Hajj Adani Salu, who passed last week, Saturday, and today is actually the Fida is actually ongoing as we speak at 13 Oluwagbebe Street, Shasha, Lagos. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant our father Al-Jannah Firdaus, Allahumma Ameen, and also comfort the members of the family. You can listen again to this episode or all the previous episodes of Everyday Muslim on mpark-ng.org. Scroll down and click on the Impact Project to view Everyday Muslim past uploaded episodes. Follow Everyday Muslim on social media, Facebook, Everyday Muslim, Instagram, Everyday Muslim 01. Like today's program, actually stream live on the Instagram page, Everyday Muslim, Impact Everyday Muslim on Instagram. So Everyday Muslim 01 is the handle on Instagram, and also on WFM YouTube page. Inshallah, the program will make its way back to your airwaves next week, same time, 11 a.m. same station, WFM 91.7 FM. I remain Abdul Hakim Qasim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Good life, Allah, I wanna thank you for the good life. I wanna wake up in the morning with the sun.